Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cumwell, with my co-hosts, let's see, Lauren Rizzo from Cressa, Joe Applebaum from Potomac Companies, Laura Van Epperen, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, Mike Rossno, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Frank Pietrantonio from Cooley, and Will Barrington and John Schuhart. We have a great lineup of guests on our show today. John, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure, Herb. First guest we have is Sean Jensen. He's the president and CEO of Polokai Services. Then we'll have Rahul Nabade, chairman and president of Validitech.
Mm-hmm.
Third guest will be Melissa Jezier, president and CEO of Eagle Hill Consulting. And we'll finish up with Mark Wertheimer. He's shareholder and partner of Seltzer, Gervich, Rabin, Wertheimer, Pollitt, and Obesny.
Let's get to know Sean Jensen, president and CEO of Polokai Services. Sean, what is Polokai Services? What do you guys do?
We are a defense contractor doing construction and environmental cleanup for various federal contracts around the country.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is this company?
We're 60 employees.
60 employees. And how old is the company?
It's 15 years now.
15 years. And how long have you been with the company?
15 years.
Oh, how'd you get a job with it?
I started it.
You started this business?
Yes.
Where'd the venture capital come from?
My 401k, $1,600.
You started this business by cashing in your 401k?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow, you must have quite an entrepreneurial background. Where are you from originally?
I'm from New York City.
Where in New York City?
Manhattan.
Uh-huh. And did anything interesting happen in your childhood?
Yeah, I was born in New York City, but was raised in Florida.
Why were you raised in Florida?
Well, my parents moved down there in the 70s, hoping to find work, and went into a disaster spin, and I ended up in foster care at around 5.5 years old.
You remember ending up in foster care at 5.5?
I remember visibly seeing my parents with as I was pulling in the social worker's car away.
What do you mean you remember that experience?
I remember them looking at me and never seeing them again.
So what happened?
My stepdad was a drunk and a drug user, and he wasn't working, and my mom was pulling shifts at the motel as a maid, and violence broke out, and police showed up, and the social workers took us away.
So what was the trajectory between that experience and you starting this business?
Well, you know, having had everything taken away from you and everything you know, and starting out essentially with nothing and no one, I did get adopted eventually at 8, and did have to struggle. You know, I had to learn how to read again. I had to learn how to write. I was held back in the second grade, and I decided I needed to grow up and find myself.
Wait a minute. So you weren't adopted for a couple years, and you weren't able to read or write, and you got held back. I mean, you got everything going against you.
Yeah, that basically my path trajectory was probably jail.
Uh huh. What happened? So what'd you do to yourself?
Well, I think it's twofold. I mean, one, you know, my adopted parents did everything they could. To try and get me to where I was, but I rebelled and left home at 15, finished high school, joined the Marines.
You joined the Marines.
Yeah, 17.
Who's got the next question here, Lauren?
Why was joining the Marines so appealing to you?
Well, for me, you know, I needed to find myself, and I found, you know, what I decided was that if I signed up for 8 years, that would give me plenty of time to do the soul searching I needed to figure out what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Frank, do you have a question there?
So on your website, you talk about really treating your company employees as families, and yet you had a very difficult family experience growing up. How did you learn to treat people as family?
I just decided that the things that happened to me don't need to happen to other people, and you know, I made a decision to be a better person than the people that I encountered in my past, and treat people right and treat people with respect. And that
earlier Frank asked you a question. I believe it was something to the effect of, you know, now that you've been experienced having complete loss, aren't you afraid of having complete loss again?
No.
What do you mean, no? What are you talking about?
Well, we've built such fantastic relationships that
you're telling me if, even though you didn't have safety in people, you still feel safety in people?
Absolutely.
Hmm. But it's not because of the money.
No.
What do you mean? I thought the whole thing, the whole reason to make a lot of money was your safety coming from money. You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think it's the safety is investment in people, and it's in they're the ones that are going to help you in the time of need. I think if you I'm a firm believer in karma. What comes around goes around, but also the importance of building strong relationships, because that's what's going to get you through tough times.
So you built the family you never had as a child.
You know, that's an excellent way to put it, but I also think it has a lot to do with, you know, my background. Yeah, in the sense that family is important, definitely, and being Hawaiian too. You know, the discovery of my roots, finding my biological family, I think that really connected, kind of rounded out the full circle why I am who I am.
What do you mean finding your roots helped you complete the circle? What are you talking about?
Well, I was angry, you know, and I blamed my my biological family for a lot of my young problems that I had, and when I went and joined the Marine Corps, I also at the time went out and searched for my biological family because I wanted to know who they were and, you know, and try and answer those questions.
How'd that affect you?
It actually closed the loop.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, one side of my family didn't have anything to do with me on my father's side, but that was okay. My mother's side, you know, she tried to explain, you know, what happened, but I just told her I forgive you and, you know, we're good.
You what?
I told her I forgave her. You know, I'm not here to remind you of what happened. I'm here to say, hey, we're all doing good, and I'm glad to find out you're okay.
What's the meaning, Sean, of your company name?
Well, it's Blue Ocean. My background is in hazardous materials, chemicals, biowarfare, hazmat, that kind of stuff. And I started out remediating, cleaning up things. And so my company initially started with an environmental theme.
Mm-hmm. Frank?
Where do you learn such a sense of forgiveness at that point?
I knew that I had to be a better person. I had to leave the anger behind, and to be successful, I had to leave it behind. I had to leave that hate, because when you hate, you're dwelling on things that are distracting you from making a positive impact.
And so now, how do you carry that forth in what it is that you do with the people that you work with on a daily basis?
Well, in the construction business, we have a lot of angry people. you know, if it's something's late, it's not on time, or you know, you got the guy who wrecks your vehicle last week, and you just go, good Lord, you know, and so you don't get angry.
Well, talk about faith. Does faith play any impact in your life?
Well,
religion.
You know, I was raised. I'm kind of a mess. I was christened Catholic, raised Mormon, and then I decided I'm good with God and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But my faith is really in, I don't know where it came from, but looking for the good in people and for people first.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
When I meet somebody new, you know, and I have that 5-second look at you, I try and look for a good attribute right away. Something rather than...
You're not going into judgment on me right away?
No, no. I'm looking for the good, strong points in people, because it's so easy to judge and look for negativity in people.
Aren't you afraid of getting hurt, though?
I have been, sure.
Doesn't that stop you from trying to find the good right away?
No. We say never again, and then 6 months later, we're out there doing the same daggone thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, John? You know, I mean, if you've been in business, you've said never again, and then you go, oh, okay, just this one time.
Laura?
You know.
Sean, do you serve as a mentor to anybody within your organization?
I mentor a couple other CEOs right now that are small businesses. I've mentored just about everybody in my business in the sense that they can come talk to me anytime.
I suppose you help a lot of folks within your organization work through some of their own challenges.
I have. I've had a number of single mothers work for me. I've had one that I really liked, and she wanted to be a nurse, so I let her go to nursing school and work.
How do you strike the balance of being a business-minded, hard, often having to make those hard decisions while bringing the empathy that is so innate to who you are to the table as the business owner?
Well, I believe in second chances, but I don't believe in third. And so, you know, we're going to screw up, and you're going to screw up, and I've fired as many as 500 people at a time. So, not that I've wanted to do that, but if it comes down to it, and you're disrupting everybody that's involved in the organization,
gotcha. Andrew,
Sean, you served in the U.S. Marine Corps for 8 years.
Yes.
How does that affect your business making decisions and the camaraderie amongst your team?
Well, it's interesting. You know, my company got its start as a one man shop on the back of a porch. I was in emergency response, and one of the big opportunities we got was Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. And I so went down there into Louisiana, and I had about 1,000 guys working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marine Corps in 5 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for Polokai Services?
PolokaiServices.com.
PolokaiServices.com. We've been speaking with Sean Jensen, President and CEO of Polokai Services, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment, right after this business spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Lauren Rizzo from Cressa, Laura Van Epperen, Van Epperen, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, Frank Pietrantonio from Cooley, as well as Will Barrington and John Schuhart. I'd like to introduce Rahul Namade, who is the chairman and president of an organization known as Validitech. What is Validitech, Rahul? What do you guys do?
Validitech is a federal IT services contractor focused on mission-critical services in IT engineering and operations.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this organization?
We're just over 150 employees.
150 employees. And how'd you get a job with the company?
I started the company.
You started the company.
Along with my business partner. Huh?
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
I went to several.
How
I was
many?
Thinking about it, and it was about nine.
Nine different schools. How many different countries?
Across five different countries.
Five different countries, uh-huh. So that was probably pretty easy and a lot. It was exciting and fun being a kid and going to nine different schools in five different countries, wasn't it?
Not really during it. I hated it quite a bit.
What do you
because
mean?
Every couple years we were continuously moving, new environments, new challenges, new languages.
Uh-huh. So you told us earlier that you had to make new friends. You had to understand and master new languages. You had to understand the cultures. I guess that was pretty difficult. What did that teach you? What did you learn from those difficulties that you bring into the business every day now?
Probably some of the things that I learned is how to go into unknown environments and solve them, figure out how I can navigate an unknown environment and also be able to, instantly merge with people and adapt to whatever situation is thrown at
me. John?
How young were you when you tried to figure out how the world works?
I was actually very young. I was one of those people who was always thinking. As far back as when I can remember the fourth grade, I was, always contemplating big things like, religion or whatever the case is, and also, trying to solve problems with why a watch isn't working or why this TV blinked out and what can I do to make it work better.
Didn't you have a problem with allergies when you were a kid or something?
Massively. So I was home a lot through school.
So what did that do to you, being home a lot?
Being home a lot gave me a lot of time to actually, do a lot of self-study. Mm-hmm. And also tinker a lot. And so through the seventh grade,
did that have any effect on your business career, that ability to tinker because of the allergies?
Absolutely. It gave me the ability to basically solve problems on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And do the little bit of research it takes to actually to figure things out and not just always have to rely on other people
to
solve things.
What do you got there?
So, Rahul, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one older sister.
Have you learned anything from your older sister?
Yeah, I learned how to write and be organized.
And why is that important?
That's pretty much the first thing you lead with in business. It's your perception of how your clients, your employees, your partners perceive you is how well you communicate, how well you connect with people, and how organized you are overall.
Mm-hmm. Who was the most influential family member growing up?
kind of a mix. I would have to say my father grew out of the shanty towns of India really accomplished amazing things. He's still like revered in the little towns that he comes from, a little town he came from in India. You know, my mom held the entire family together as we moved everywhere all over the world and stuff. So I would say it's sort of a combination of the both of them.
Have your mom and dad been to your office?
They have.
Mm-hmm. How do you think they felt?
I think it's sort of the culmination of their American dream.
What are you talking about?
You know, it's I am a product of the foundation that they built. So I was able to take what they did and build upon it. So it's really their achievement. Also.
Did you walk them through your office?
Absolutely.
Did you introduce them to your people?
I haven't had the opportunity to bring them by during an actual business day, but that's going to happen very soon.
What did they tell you when you walked them through the office and they saw what you've done?
They sort of look around proudly, but the gauge is what they're telling all their friends.
What are they?
when they go and they tell everyone else all these tall tales of the stuff I'm doing, I'm like, okay, they're proud.
Who's got the next question?
When did you learn to question accepted methods? Because you offer your clients solutions, you know, that must be a great skill to have. When did that start?
That started from a very young age. That was always, you know, there's got to be a better way to do something. You know, and then that sort of translated into also the biz, you know, our overall business model of being consultants and not just saying, you know, okay, this is the way things have always been. You know, when I was working at Hewlett Packard, and that's when the moment hit me that I have to go into small business, is that, you know, nothing wrong with HP, but really there was so much of the, this is the way it's always been done, this is the way we do it, you're not, you know, no, that's not the right answer.
So what was the turning point for you?
It was one day when they posted on an org chart in San Diego, they posted a 200 person org chart, and I was leading a team of about 30 people at the time, you know, and this is when I was, I think, 24, and I was looking at this thing, and my boss's boss was the bottom person of this org chart that filled an entire wall, and I was just like, I'll never make a difference here. I can't operate in a space this large.
Mm-hmm. Laura?
Is that why you founded your own firm, to make a difference?
Yeah, that's when, you know, that's when the idea began, or where you know, small business is the way. And then after seeing it done wrong in so many places, after working in various other places, really, you know, it was this can be done a different way. We can do it by valuing employees and by building it around our employees and supporting them and having them take it the rest of the way.
How do you do that day to day?
Day to day, it's about, you know, everyone always says, well, you know, you're your own boss. And that's absolutely the diametric opposite of what we do. You know, I have hundreds of bosses now. You know, every employee is my boss, every client is my boss, every partner is my boss, every subcontractor is my boss. I'm always jumping for them, you know, and so in a way, it's you know, kind of turned upside down, but that makes me happy, you know.
Mm-hmm. What makes you happy?
Sort of supporting and growing and like the previous guest mentioned, you know, when I can help folks realize, you know, their career success and help them forward in that, that's really what we get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I find fun.
Where the sense of giving back come from, mom or dad or?
I would say, if I had to guess, more probably my mom. Although, you know, they you know, they're both, you know, I guess it's more like family upbringing. They continuously give back, even though now that they're retired, they're still giving back. You know,
Frank, you got one?
When did you first become aware of how revered your father was?
It's interesting. Growing up, he was just dad. You know, who didn't let me do things, and you know, it was after college, I took a couple months off and I went to India with my mom just to go see it because.
Yeah. How young were you?
I was probably 20, 21.
I'm just going to speed it up a little bit. What effect did that have on you?
When I saw that, you know, how revered he was, you know, and folks would come and talk about the amazing things that he did and
what did that
and
do to you?
The struggle that he went through.
What did that do to you?
It sort of, I would say, it kind of motivated me to you know, to sort of pick up and no challenge is insurmountable.
How'd you learn that? How'd you learn that?
I learned that through, I guess, their experience of and growing up of that there's no challenge that can't be overcome.
You want your father to be proud of you?
Oh, absolutely.
What was that experience when you were a kid? How young were you? I'll tell you what, we'll have to come back to you. What's the website address for Validitech?
Absolutely. It's www.validitech.com. It's spelled V-A-L-I-D-E-D-A-T-E-K.
We've been speaking with Rahul Namade, who is the chairman and president of Validitech. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called Web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And Web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Call now. 1-800-535-9652. That's 1-800-535-9652.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-hosts, Lauren Rizzo-Cressa, Laura Van Epperen, Van Epperen, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, Frank Pietrantonio from Cooley, and Will Barrington and John Schuart. I'd like to introduce Melissa Jezior, who is the president and CEO of Eagle Hill Consulting. Melissa, what is Eagle Hill Consulting? What do you guys do?
We're a management consulting firm for both the private sector and federal government.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is this company?
We're about 150.
And how old is the company?
We're 13 years old.
13 years old. And how long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company 13 years. I started it. I started myself.
You started the business. Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
I'm from New Jersey.
Whereabouts in New Jersey?
Bergen County.
Bergen County, New Jersey. How many brothers and sisters?
I have one younger sister.
One younger sister. Uh-huh. And let's see. What did Mom do for a living?
She was a teacher when I was growing up.
What did Dad do for a living?
He worked for Anderson Consulting, now Accenture.
Mm-hmm. What's Dad do nowadays?
Dad works with me.
what do you mean Dad works with you? What are you talking about?
Back when I started Eagle Hill, my dad had retired from Accenture, and as he will tell you, he flunked retirement, and asked him to come and start Eagle Hill with me.
So you work with your dad on a daily basis now?
I do.
Uh-huh. What's that like?
It's fantastic. You know, I've been working with him ever since I was a little kid. He was the one who kind of oversaw my homework, and he's been a mentor for me my entire life. So it's great.
Does he tell you what to do nowadays?
He's got a really great way of coaching, where he never actually tells you directly what to do. It's very well received, I think, even with all the young kids in the office.
Mm-hmm. Frank, did you have a question? You had a couple earlier in the green room.
Yeah, so on your website, you describe, I think, poignantly your relationship with your dad, or how you characterize him as smart, kind, happy, gentle. How many of those things did you kind of naturally incorporate into your personality and how it is that you operate in your business?
Oh, that's a good question. It's probably hard to divorce Eagle Hill from who both my father and I are. So I think it's very much part of our culture. I think we do try to be kinder and gentler than a lot of the bigger firms. And as I know some of my colleagues around the table here today, I think we put people first, and that I think makes a big difference.
You had an experience. You mentioned an experience with your uncle when you were 14. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
My uncle's a UPS driver, and one of my first jobs, he got me on his route at a nail salon. Mm-hmm. So I was responsible for, I was the receptionist. So, yeah. But I was telling everybody earlier, I really worked on kind of revamping the nail salon. So I redid how they managed their appointments. I reorganized all of the nail polish colors. I redid all their signage.
And how old were you?
14 or 15.
14 years old. So it sounds like you're a pretty driven, capable lady. And earlier we were talking, and we asked you if you had any, issues come up in your teenage years, and you mentioned something that happened. What was that all about?
I had, in high school, really wanted to go to Duke University. I was a big Duke basketball fan. But I didn't get in. So it was one of my big, my first failure, or my first taste of failure, I would say.
And you mentioned somebody wrote a letter?
Yes, my younger sister, unbeknownst to me at the time, was appalled that they didn't let her big sister in, and wrote a letter to Duke telling them what a big mistake they had made.
Why did she write the letter? This is your younger sister.
Yeah, I think she saw the impact. I mean, I was pretty upset.
Why would typically younger sisters wouldn't care, though? Why would she write the letter?
I think we're very close. And I think she saw the impact it had on me, and it impacted her as a result.
Mm-hmm. Frank?
So how did you bounce back? I mean, like you said, you spent the entire high school goal as to go to Duke, and then you don't get in, and that's a pretty big disappointment. What do you do to bounce back from that?
That's a good question. Well, after crying my eyes out, I think I tried to throw myself into what was next. What was the next goal that I could kind of get my head around and focus on? I think that's how I really, that's how I turned it around.
Laura?
Did that setback shape you, who you are today as a business leader?
Yeah, how'd that affect you?
Absolutely. I think maybe I refuse failure now. So I think it happens, as every business owner knows it happens. I think it's just a matter of figuring out, okay, that didn't work. What are we going to do different? What are we going to do? How are we going to manage? How are we going to move forward?
So tell us how you thrived at William & Mary. That's where you went, right?
It is. I actually did not like William & Mary very much. Thriving, I'm not so sure. Actually, all my life, that's probably one experience I did not enjoy very much. And mostly because I'm a very much of a people person. And William & Mary, if anyone knows it, it's a very study-oriented organization, which I can do as well. I think for me, my real blossoming took place after college.
Mm-hmm. What did you get from Mom?
Mom is very sensitive and also very, very much a people person. So, and I think I am as well.
Mm-hmm. How does that play into the consulting world? That's really knowledge, expertise, advice. Who
and
needs the people.
People
person stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yes, and all of that, but in the heart of it, it really is about people and figuring out what makes people tick and how to help people kind of improve whatever is surrounding them, whatever problem is they're facing.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever take any other risk when you, after high school?
Oh, I think starting a business in and of itself is a big risk.
Did you move across country?
I did.
Tell us about that.
My husband is a doctor. He got his residency in Seattle. So we picked up and moved across country. Didn't know anybody. It was back when the internet was booming. So I quit my job and joined an internet company. So it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So you're fearless in spite of setbacks. Are you highly adept at picking yourself up and charging forward, staying focused on the best and brightest of the future?
I think so, actually. I think I'm very, very much future-oriented. I think that's how I do manage to be immune to. I mean, I don't want to say I'm immune to failure, because failure hurts and it's hard, but it's always about looking forward and figuring out what you can do differently.
Mm. How do you balance life? You were a consultant at Accenture. Now you're running a company and you have three kids. Is that right?
I do.
How do you balance work-life balance? How do you deal with that?
I think I heard someone say earlier, priorities. I think every day it's figuring out what's a priority. And some days that's your kids. Some days that's life. Some days that's business.
What's the similarity between being a mom and being the CEO?
Probably everything and nothing. I think the everything part is that you're charged with helping grow and develop and turn these little people into successful, thriving adults. And I think the parallel there is you're trying to do some very, very similar things to folks in your own organization. How do you help them build and grow?
No, I thought the idea with the business is that if somebody doesn't do the job, you just fire them. What are you talking about? You develop. What are you talking about?
You know, I think I heard someone say this earlier. I think everyone has a second chance in them. I believe in that. I think a third chance is where you're pushing it. So I think sometimes, if anyone's read Jim Collins, it's getting the right person in the right seat in the right bus.
Mm-hmm. Frank?
So how do you scale that sense of, you know, kind of cultivating and helping people succeed from a couple of children up to 150 employees?
I think you almost just said it right there. Is I think it's remembering it's not just a group of 150 employees. It's made up of 150 individuals, and focusing on the person.
Mm-hmm. Will?
How does a person thrive at Eagle Hill?
That's a good question. I think people are, they work hard, but I think they also we are very much a family, a work family. So I think it is caring for the person next to you, and really caring for our clients and figuring out how to help people.
Mm-hmm. John?
We could fill the Arlington Chamber of Commerce with successful heads of consulting companies here in the Washington area. What makes you and Eagle Hill different than all the others out there?
That's a good question. I think I keep talking about people, but I believe in that. We have, I believe, the best people in our industry. And we follow an insane recruiting methodology to back that up called top grading. And I think how we approach problems, we're very collaborative.
Yeah, it sounds to me. I mean, you know, the experience you had with your sister, where your sister stepped up to defend you, It's not common, my senses, that you come from a pretty close, in fact, considering you're working with your dad. You know,
and my mom, too, actually.
Wow. So talk about a really intimate relationship with your family. I've got to believe that that's affecting your relationships with your business teammates. Am I correct about that?
I think it impacts them in a really positive way. I think that we do try to treat people as individuals and as a family and working toward the same goal.
Yeah, I think it's because of those family relationships as a young child, John.
How young were you when this connection or person-ish, whatever you call it, first came out?
Yeah.
When did you realize that you were a people person, that this connection was really what life was all about?
You know, we understand that this, you know, that it was pretty exceptional. Your sister stepped up to the plate to write the letter. What other kinds of exceptional stuff regarding the family unit showed up when you were a kid? What other kinds of stuff showed up? Well, your dad was mentoring you, as opposed to some dads would be yelling at their daughters. Mm-hmm. It sounded like you had a pretty good, a pretty close relationship with
him. I had a fantastic relationship with both my parents growing up. I think, you know, my dad traveled a ton as a kid, but I have no memory of him not being there.
There you go. What's the website address for Eagle Hill Consulting?
EagleHillConsulting.com.
EagleHillConsulting.com. We've been speaking with Melissa Jezior, who's the president and CEO of Eagle Hill Consulting, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
Ron Petrie.
And Ron, what organization are you with?
Aronomy.
And what is Aronomy?
Aronomy is a high-tech company doing cloud computing and virtualization for the higher education space and some of the state and locals.
And what do you do for your clients that's special?
We actually have got a niche spot for looking at how to take the unique things such as cybersecurity and putting it out in the cloud where it's not going to contaminate and give the schools the capability of teaching virtually on the cloud.
Mm-hmm. And who are your clients typically?
Higher education, colleges, mm-hmm. universities, mm-hmm. K-12. We're doing it with the state and locals. Mm-hmm. They're finding out that they don't have the budget anymore for buying the IT infrastructure and mm-hmm. keeping it up mm-hmm. with all the personnel. So we're doing that for them.
And what do you like about your job?
The diversity of it. It's really kind of fun. I came out of teaching myself for about 10 years at one of the mm-hmm. local universities mm-hmm. colleges here. Mm-hmm. And got a chance to see how it really would be beneficial to the college.
And what have your clients told you? Why do they like you guys?
It turns out we have kind of a unique space, especially in the cybersecurity area. Mm-hmm. We partner with all the larger players, the Amazon, the Googles and such. Mm-hmm. But the issue becomes one of, if you want to try and do things like cybersecurity, where somebody's going to put a virus out in your system, mm-hmm. you don't want to do that out there where somebody else has all their other systems up.
Is your background technology?
Actually, I have a degree in business at American University, so it's a combination of technology business. And such. I actually have a crypto background.
What is your website address?
It's aronomy.com.
How do you spell that?
Aeronomy.
.com, aronomy.com. We've been speaking with your name again?
Ron Petrie.
From?
Aronomy.
This is Herb Cohn. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Joe Hegarty, who is the president and CEO of the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce. Joe, what is the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
So the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce represents the businesses in Alexandria, 650 businesses, and we try to be their voice with government and work with them around serving the customers and the consumers.
So it's 650 businesses that are your members. How long have you been with the chamber?
6 months.
6 months. What were you doing prior to being the CEO of the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce?
I worked for an organization called the United Way for 30 years.
Doing what kind of stuff?
Leading some of our chapters around the United States and then working here in Washington, D.C. On strategic national issues.
Interesting. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Boston.
Boston. How many brothers and sisters?
Two brothers, two sisters.
Two brothers, two sisters. And where are you in the pecking order?
I am the oldest.
The oldest of five, huh? And where's your family from originally?
100% from Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Your grandparents, I assume, you're from Ireland?
Yes.
And your parents are first generation?
That's right. That's right.
How'd your grandparents, coming from Ireland, your parents being first generation, affect you?
So my grandparents actually lived with us when I was growing up, and so I heard the history, I heard the Irish history, I heard about the conflicts between Great Britain and Ireland, and I heard a lot about what it was like to move to this country.
How'd that affect you? What did you learn?
Well, I think what I learned is these folks, like other people who come to this country, they just got up and came because they felt there was more opportunity here,
mm-hmm.
and they went after it,
mm-hmm.
and I guess mostly that when you're first generation, you're working. They worked a lot and mm-hmm. worked hard.
Mm-hmm. How'd that affect you?
Well, I saw it in my family, and it was just not an... Everybody in the family was working. One of my grandparents' sons became a union president, mm-hmm. and everybody was in that union, and everybody worked all the time.
Mm-hmm. So I get the sense that you got hard work. How young were you when you found yourself in the middle of it all, when you found yourself in an influential role? What ended up happening? Give us an idea of that.
So for some reason in high school, I got involved in a lot of community things. And as I mentioned to you earlier, this junior police academy, we were learning about policing and about the community. Somebody criticized the police chief, who I actually thought was a pretty good person. So I wrote a letter to the newspaper and said he was a good person. And they actually published it.
And then what happened after the newspaper published this article that how old were you when you wrote this article, when you wrote this?
Probably 10th grade.
Uh-huh. And did mom or dad tell you to do it?
No, they did not.
So you were in 10th grade. And you decided to write this article. What happened when that article appeared?
So I learned quickly that the people who agreed with me were very happy about my letter, and the people who didn't agree with me let me know.
How'd that plant the seeds for your being the chamber, the president and CEO of the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I started to think about the community I lived in and the politics and the people. And I thought this would be fun to try to work with people, to connect them, to see how we can make this a better place.
Didn't it bother you that some people liked it and some people didn't? You were making enemies?
Well, I didn't consider them enemies. I considered it a challenge.
What's that have to do with building the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I think chambers of commerce and organizations like United Way are always trying to bring people together and find out how do we work together on this issue, realizing there are differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
What were your conversations like growing up in a multi-generational family? What kind of things did you talk about at dinner?
So we talked, because of the type of family I was in, we talked about politics quite a bit. But from my grandparents' side of it, there was a lot of history.
Were there any sort of themes that arose in that context that really influenced you today?
The theming was, I think, about education, and that much of our family didn't have education at that time, and that it was very important. And that's how you're going to get ahead in this world and in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you grew up talking about unions, and now you're running a business organization and sitting on boards. Have you switched teams? Do you see the connection? What's going on there?
Well, I believe business and unions can work together where they are. I mean, that's what they do. They negotiate and they try to figure out the best approach. The challenge for a lot of business people is how do I run my business in the best possible way and treat my employees in the best possible way? But to treat your employees in the best possible way, you really have to kind of be enlightened, as some of the people here are, and think about what's good for them too. It's not all about the business itself.
That's interesting. I thought business was all about what's in it for me.
I think as you're hearing it today, that's probably not true. But business does great things. They create jobs for people. Restaurants, hotels create activities for people.
Mm-hmm.
And business people want to be involved in the community and make a difference too.
Mm-hmm. Karen, Haley?
Who do you identify with in your family, your mother or your father?
So probably mostly with my mother. She literally was the leader of the family. She ran things and she made decisions. My father was working all the time.
And what did you learn from your mom, and what did you learn from your dad?
So the theme for my mother was always about education for myself, my brothers and sisters, and that you are going to go to college. That was every day. And for my father, he was more laid back and quiet, but working a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the job of the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, I guess the good thing is you get to go in, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, and you have drinks for lunch, and you get to go home at 3 or 4 o'clock. You don't have to work weekends, right?
Not exactly. So the Chamber of Commerce job is breakfast, lunch, and dinner is where you're working. In the meantime, you get to the office and try to make something happen. And then
how early are you doing emails in the morning?
6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
And what time do you stop doing them at night?
Well, tonight I'll get home about 9 o'clock. We have a hearing.
Are you going to do emails after 9 o'clock when you get home?
You have to check them and respond to the people that you have to respond
but
to.
But how about Saturdays and Sundays? You bother checking your business email?
I try to control that because I too spend time with my kids a lot on the weekend.
Uh-huh.
But you just got to keep your eye on the technology.
So you're all about people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that what I'm learning is that being the head of a chamber of commerce is all about people.
I think it really is, yeah. And the community you live in.
And what do you mean the community you live in? What do you mean?
So, you know, I think business, one of the things business can bring to a community is to make it a better place.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, by supplying jobs for people.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, in Virginia here, the way the tax base is set, businesses pay a lot of taxes, and it helps balance the tax rate for everybody.
Gotcha. Dana?
So what do you do to help make your kids be civic-minded?
I offer them and often drag them to community events all the time.
All right. What's the website address for the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce?
alexchamber.com.
All right. John, please give us the rundown of who we've had the opportunity of speaking with.
Today we've been talking.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, today we've been talking with Ashish Khetru, CEO of Altruista Health, Bill Angrick, CEO of Liquidity Services, Raj Ananthan Pillai, CEO of InfoZen and Identitrix, and Joe Haggerty, President and CEO of the Alexandria Chamber of Commerce.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Dana Theus, Empower Coaching, John Shuar, Great Beard Coaching, Haley Morris, Cressa, Karen Addis, Van Epperin, and Dean Nutter, George Mason University, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.